Deb Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. We're going to go to Chicago. The NBA pre-draft camp starts today, and there are four U of A players there. The Suns are involved in the pre-draft camp. Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports Suns insider from Chicago, will go through the draft, the U of A players, what the Suns are looking for. This is a busy month in college football, and we do a ton of college football here on sports360az.com. The college recruiting period is right now. And several of the big colleges across the country, doesn't matter if it's Alabama or Ohio State or Texas A&M or Notre Dame, they have all been coming to Arizona. Why is that? Who are they offering? Let's start looking early at the class of next year because there's been a lot of commitments, recruiting a big part of what we do. Jason Jewell with Scout.com, none better than Jason Jewell. He is on our site as well with a recruiting roundup every week. Jason Jewell will join us as well. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports on a busy Thursday, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Right now at the Honda Resort and Casino in the Timbers Lounge, you have Smokehouse, a country western band that's playing through this weekend at the Timbers Lounge. Starts at 8. You must be 21, and the shows are free. But more importantly, a week from this Friday, Rod Stewart Tribute Band is in place at the Conference Center. Tickets are $10. There's a room package that includes a couple of tickets. Doors open at 7. Crank it up there, Jared Nielsen. Don't be afraid, man. Guys, we're talking about the Honda Resort and Casino. Some guys have all the luck. No, give me more of it. I'm just going to relax. Pull down in the slots. Eat some great food. Have some fun. You'll be so far in, you need a roadmap to get out with her, right? That's the Rod Stewart Tribute a week from this Friday in the Conference Center. Tickets, $10. Room package, $79. Includes two tickets. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Beautiful part of the country in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top, Honda Resort and Casino. I'm in a fine mood today because there's a lot going on. Not happy about what happened yesterday with the Diamondbacks. I don't think anybody is. Anybody who's a fan that is happy with what transpired yesterday, anybody within the front office who's not happy with what transpired yesterday, it's frustrating. Here you are, you're in the game, you get a good start out of Hellickson. He went 5 2/3, and he was solid. We had concerns about that. They go to the bullpen, Addison Reed, your closer, who has not had many opportunities this year, faces a player who's a rookie in his first at-bat because Bryce Harper was thrown out of the game. The Diamondbacks have the lead. They're this close to being 16-17, heading out on playing 16 of the next 19 away from home. And this happened.
Base is loaded, one out, and Michael Taylor thrust into a big spot here.
Bryce Harper's spot comes up in a big situation here in the bottom of the ninth.
Taylor to deep center. Watch it fly. It's a grand slam. Michael Taylor's first career plate appearance with the bases loaded, and he hit that one for Bryce Harper and the rest of his teammates.
So they end up losing by a score of 9-6. That close. In fairness, and I'm all about fairness here, here's the thing. Addison Reed had a real tight strike zone on him. The game was not shown here locally, but I did see highlights later. He had a tight strike zone. He got jobbed, I thought, on two strike calls. Should have struck him out, or to Jason Worth, rather. Should have struck Jason Worth out. He would be out of the inning. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat this. Giving up the grand slam was disappointing to everybody, but I really liked where Chip Hale came from on this. Look, it's early mid-May. Your closer hasn't had many opportunities. Fans are calling. Fans are sending emails. Twitter's blowing up. And it's just like, tap the brakes. Let's breathe here a little bit. Here is Chip Hale afterwards on Addison Reed. He was asked about him as his closer.
Walk was tough. Thought he threw some good pitches there. He didn't get the calls. And a scratch hit by Escobar. And then just got the ball up on Taylor. The guy did a good job of hitting it. Coming off the bench. Every time somebody doesn't perform, they're either going to get taken out of the rotation or they're going to get sent down. You know what I mean? Come on, man. It's a 162-game season. Guys struggle, man. Let's give that team credit. They battled. Guy off the bench who got put in for a guy getting thrown out, comes up with a big home run. That's pretty impressive. So, I mean, you know, we're always trying to get better. But, you know, we haven't had a whole lot of those opportunities for him. So it's hard. We just have to get better.
Okay, so he's had four opportunities. He has not converted on two of the four. Facts are facts. I'm not sitting here pushing panic buttons today about this. I think Chip was right on mark. I thought the strike zone on Worth, he had Worth out. It just happens. To Addison Reed's credit, here he was after the game in the Diamondbacks locker room.
Ball was everywhere. I mean, the ball that the grand slam that went out was built high over the middle. I haven't went back and looked back at it, but I mean, I could almost guarantee it was belt high, right out of the hand. It felt like a terrible pitch, and he did what he was supposed to do with it.
And I respect that. Step right up there. I'm the guy that picked them to win 84 games. And most of you are the ones that are pointing out to me every day, you're wrong again, you're wrong again, you're wrong again. I don't know. They're 15 and 18. Blown saves are going to happen during the course of the year. This one, though, really hurts. Here's how I look at it moving forward, though. You've got to put it behind you. A travel day today. The next week, they have two teams that aren't very good. Numbers don't lie. Philly and Miami are below 500. 13 of the next 16, though, are on the road for the Diamondbacks. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes teams go on the road and they respond. They get away from the routine at home. They get away from girlfriends and mamas and babies and distractions. And they actually get together as a team. This may be the case for this squad. As they've played through the first 6 weeks of the season, they're about where I expected them to be. Again, 84 wins. They got to play right around 500. Tony La Russa's done a very good job. Chip Hale's done a good job. Dave Stewart, Dejon Watson, they've all done a fine job of putting together a team, but I don't think the identity has really come together yet. Teams will take on identities as the season progresses. There's been some moving parts. Tomas coming up. Tomas being on the bench. Tomas being inserted in the lineup yesterday. He came up with a big play for them. The Archie Bradley play, when he gets a line drive off his face, you take Archie Bradley out of the lineup, there's a couple of starts that he's had to miss. Fortunately, Archie Bradley is expected back on the mound Saturday night at Philadelphia. I will be watching. I will be rooting for him. I want Archie Bradley to do well. I love watching him pitch. Tomorrow night, Chase Anderson goes against the Phillies. Chase Anderson has been better than I think a lot of people, including the Diamondbacks, expected him to be. He's been pretty darn good. So while today, in some people's eyes, the sky is falling, it's May. These things are going to happen. And behind the scenes, we'll just see what happens with Addison Reed. Anybody who's today saying, let's make a change, I think you just have to tap the brakes. Long season. Interesting story today in college basketball in our state. So Sean Miller of the U of A named the U19 head coach in the Olympic World Championships. Why am I bringing this up in the A segment? The bitter rivalry between ASU and U of A continues on, and for Sean to now be in a primo position that Bobby Hurley is not in, where Sean Miller is out recruiting players and having players that are the best in the world now stand in front of him and he's able to coach them, gives him a tremendous advantage. Tremendous advantage. He's going to be coaching with his brother, Archie Miller. So that story caught my eye today. The Cardinals are going to train for a few days during the regular season back east, according to reports. This is not breaking news, but I think within our state, it's interesting. There's always been the debate about teams from Arizona when they travel back east. It's hard for them to be ready to play. We heard that during the whole Ken Whisenhunt era. Bruce Arians has not stood by that at all. So when they play at Detroit on October 11th, the following week, they will stay in West Virginia at a place called Greenbrier and practice there, and then they'll play at Pittsburgh the following week. Good little road trip, guys. I'm always looking out for you. Make that trip. You know, let's go see the game in Detroit. Let's go tour West Virginia, and then let's go see the Steeler game. If you're a Cardinal fan, that's like a dream come true. The Saints practiced at Greenbrier last year, so that came up today. We're going to go to Chicago in a couple of minutes to talk with Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports Suns Insider, on the NBA draft preview and all that. We'll have that as well. As the show progresses today, NFL owners are going to vote on changing the point after touchdown rule at the meeting next week. Some stuff in New England that's pretty funny today that we'll show you later on in the show. And then, as mentioned, we'll do some recruiting too. So busy show ahead, but for now, we'll step aside. On the other side, we'll go to Chicago. Paul Coro, The latest from the NBA draft is it gets started today in earnest. We don't know the Suns' draft position. I want to talk to him about the NBA from the standpoint of when you're grabbing players intentionally and fouling them, it's not good for the game. What's Paul's view? Because he's around the league so much. We'll talk with Paul Coro next. I'm Brad Sussman.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Thursday, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmad with you. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Paul Coro, Suns Insider from Chicago, joining us live. The Suns in the NBA pre-draft camp and quite a few angles around the U of A, four players there. What are the Suns going to do with the lottery and all that around the Suns in a moment. I do want to start, though, with the playoffs. And you've covered the NBA, Paul, for how many years now?
11.
And in 11 years, where would you put the hack a Jordan and hack a Dwight in terms of bad for the game, good for the game?
You know, it's bad for the game just because it kills the pace of the game and kills the flow and makes games longer, you know, all those things that you're trying to fight against. I'm sort of a traditionalist. I don't want to see something invented to circumvent guys having to be good free throw shooters. I'd rather see those guys, coaches, have to sit them down because they can't play that part of the game. But it is frustrating to watch as a basketball viewer. These are good matchups. These playoffs have been pretty good matchups. And then just have them stunted in those moments, and have a couple guys on Houston that create it too.
Well, it's not even in those moments. It's 3 hour NBA games. It's 96 free throws between two teams. It's just awful for the game, in my view. And I guess I'm looking at it like, if they don't have the ball in their hands and they foul somebody away from the ball, shouldn't that be a flagrant and give possession? It seems pretty simple to clean this up. Seems pretty simple.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I don't want too much overly done about it. But yeah, I agree. Something where those guys just grabbing a guy at half court is—it's an intentional foul.
Yes.
And
yes.
It can be—it's treated as such. Now, if guys are doing it slyly, you know, just like when you have a foul to give in a late quarter situation, you don't want those turning into that sort of intentional foul too. That's, you know, nobody minds that strategy. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line between the two, but. To be honest, you know, I've enjoyed the series that don't have those a lot more, and I'm inclined to not turn on Rockets Clippers because there's three of those hack-a guys in that game.
What does Adam Silver think about this, do you believe? What does the commissioner think?
He's mentioned a couple times. He's pretty open to change and also open to commenting on it, you know, as far as playoff structure, scheduling, rule changes. And they've considered it, and I think it's getting worse because, like you mentioned, 2.5, 3 hour games are ridiculous in the NBA. It's killing them when they're on the biggest stage to have fans that just come to the games during playoffs see that and get turned away.
As an observer, and we're talking with Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports Suns Insider, he's in Chicago for the NBA pre-draft camp. As an observer of the league, you are in Chicago. Tonight it is Bulls-Cavs. Is this the end of the road for Chicago tonight?
I like Chicago's chances tonight. They're back home, right? Tonight's in Chicago, yeah. And I think, you know, with Powell back in the lineup, that's a huge difference. I don't know how much Powell has to be able to play. You know, he's going to give them whatever percentage he's got in a must-win game. But you know, Chicago's got still has a better depth when they are healthy and more weapons to throw at Cleveland. And I liked them going into the series, and there's been some things that happened but I thought Cleveland without Love was going to fall victim to it. So I think this goes to a game seven. But the oddest thing about the coaching is such a sideshow in this series, because between the Black stuff with, you know, having Tyronn Lue have to grab him to save him from getting a technical for a timeout, and LeBron overruling his inbound play and basically Thibodeau is just a dead man walking no matter what happened. They could win a championship. He'd get fired anyway.
Yep.
It's just the oddest situation on the side.
And the thing with LeBron is he's going to have a poor shooting series, but he has nobody else. So when people point out, well, you know, he's 18 of 55. Look, if it's got to be Allen Iverson jacking up 30 and 40 shots or Kobe Bryant doing the same thing, that's what it's come to for him to survive in this mode.
Well, and it's different with LeBron, too. He's not that type of guy. You know, nobody cringes when they watch him take 30 shots. It's like, oh, finally, LeBron's being more aggressive because he's such a playmaker. He's not a guy that, you know, like Russell Westbrook, that's just trying to take as many shots as he can. And I think a lot of what's happening with LeBron has to do with Jimmy Butler. It doesn't have to do with LeBron having a below-average series for himself. He's LeBron James, and Jimmy Butler just happens to be one of the best defensive players in the league, done just about as well on him as any player I've ever seen in a stretch of games.
Talking with Paul Coro, he is in Chicago for the NBA pre-draft camp. Let's get into this from the Suns' perspective. Ryan McDonough, Jeff Hornacek, what are they looking for position-wise, first and foremost, out of this pre-draft camp, do you believe?
A player. I mean, they can't really be picky. They're a non-playoff team with no superstars, no star players. They can't be too selective. I think they could, in an ideal world, yeah, they could use some size more than anything. But they can't look at their roster and say that there's a no-touch area, I don't think. I mean, yes, Eric Bledsoe is going to be the point guard, and hopefully in their eyes that Brandon Knight re-signs and that backcourt set, so they could use a backup point guard help too if the right guy's there. And there's some pretty good depth at point guard in the first round, but also some size. You know, once you get past the Towns and the Okafors and the Porzingises that are all going to go high, there'll be some guys that, you know, assuming that they end up at 13 where the highest odds are, it's like 96% chance for the lottery next week that they'll be at 13 again. It's like they live in that early teen no man's land. But there'll be some guys out there that have some size, like Miles Turner or Trey Lyles or, you know, Bobby Portis, Kaminsky, those sort of guys.
Yeah. Well, I think that there are some wings that are interesting for them. Let's talk about the U of A guys. So let's start with Stanley Johnson. Stanley Johnson, we saw him for 1 year. I thought he was terrific at times. In March Madness, we were at the Pac-12 tournament. We were with them in Portland and in Los Angeles. Saw him in person a lot. What's the early NBA view, and what are scouts going to be looking at in Chicago at him the next few days?
Scouts love Stanley Johnson because you just look at him and you know he's an NBA player. You don't even have to watch him play. That chiseled physique, he looks like a small forward. If you were drawing one up on a board for an advertisement or something like that, he's just strong and physical. And then you watch him play and he's got a motor that, you know, you don't have to worry about his competitive level or how much he wants to win. He's a freight train in transition and stuff. So there's a lot of things to like about Stanley Johnson. And I think, when a bunch of people, including the Suns, pass on Kawhi Leonard, I see this guy as a similar type player that teams aren't going to make that mistake again. He's a man-child out there, and those types of guys who can guard different positions but still have some scoring prowess are highly valuable in the league.
And he still looks like he can put body meat on his frame too, Paul. That's the thing about him. He's not done yet.
He'd look like P.J. Tucker if he had it anymore.
Sure. Well, he's got that look about him. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, to me, is a bit of a mystery. So mid-range jump shot in the tournament, teams are saying, go ahead, knock yourself out. He didn't have that. Defensively, he's terrific. Athleticism-wise, amazing. What does he have to show this week in Chicago?
Yeah, you hit it. It's his shot. And then, you know, they go through a lot of shooting drills, spot-up shooting drills, off-the-dribble ones here, and it won't necessarily make or break him, but it sure could relieve some of the concerns about him. You know, he's a guy that he checks a lot of those boxes, but if that shot remains as suspect as it's been, he could really slip in the first round just because of that. But, he's got that NBA defensive ability right away, and he, and he'll score in transition, and he's going to be an active player. But his jump shot ability has really got to be proven. I'm sure he's been in a gym taking 1,000 a day ever since the end of the season to get ready for this.
Paul Coral, Suns Insider, in Chicago at the NBA pre-draft camp. Brandon Ashley, foot injury. Is he a tweener? What are you hearing about Brandon Ashley?
Yeah, Ashley, I'd be surprised if he was able to make it to the first round. He's a second-round guy, and then once you get into the second round, you know, guys can wind up going anywhere. You mentioned tweener, I think, right? Didn't you, Brad?
Yeah,
That's exactly what he is. I think he actually measured maybe a little bit around with 6'7", 6'7.5" yesterday, but you know, he plays like a 4. He's got to probably show that he's a 3, even though he's got, you know, he's a long guy for that. But there's just too many questions still about him for to be a guy that somebody wants to give a guaranteed contract for 3 to 4 years.
TJ McConnell wasn't invited initially. I loved watching TJ McConnell play. Loved his guts, loved his guile out on the court. Reminded me of Aaron Kraft, a very good college player who's just barely hanging on in the D League. Do you see the same sort of path for TJ McConnell? What are scouts in Chicago saying about the U of A point guard?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's here, but I guess, you know, there's probably some guys that backed out and created a spot for him. I don't think he'll get drafted. I'm sure he'll get invited to somebody's camp and get a chance to prove himself. And, I appreciate his college game a lot. I just don't see him as an NBA player. But, you know, then again, there's some guys that have, you know, like a David Stockton worked his way through the D-League last season, couldn't even play on the summer league team for the Suns last year. And by the end of the year, he was on the Kings and has a chance to be with them next year. So, you know, heady floor leaders like that can find their way.
And before I let you go, who is the player that is causing the buzz this year? It seems like when the draft camp comes around, there's always a player or two that people are buzzing about. Anybody catch your eye already or you're hearing a buzz about?
Well, today's the first day they'll do the 5-on-5 stuff. So nobody's really seen them do basketball things. So far, it's just been measurements and some behind-the-scenes interviews. But, they'll be interesting to see. The guys that have the greatest disparity on them are guys like Trey Lyles. You know, there's a lot of Kentucky guys that people only saw for 20 minutes a game and wonder what they really have. You know, the mid-major guys can make a name here. This is where Damian Lillard's stock really took off. So a guy like Cameron Payne, the point guard from Murray State, you know, who they didn't even get into the NCAA tournament, but he was a guy that averaged 20-6 and is really quick and could work himself to be a mid to lottery pick.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your insight as always. Good stuff there from Chicago. Safe travels, Paul. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Paul Cora with us, AZ Central Sports Suns Insider from the NBA pre-draft camp. The NFL owners are voting on changing a rule that involves scoring. I'm going to vote on that. I'm going to get to that on the other side in about 15 minutes. Right now is the busiest time of year in college football across the country, with coaches recruiting juniors that are going to be seniors. And in the last 2 weeks, several of the major colleges have rolled through Arizona. Jason Jewell from Scout.com. We'll talk college football. We're real big on that. The colleges that have come through, the top quarterbacks that they're looking at in the state of Arizona, and much more as we continue on. Thursday, Sports 360, AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years, and what's great about this show is that things just show up into your lap. Things show up that you say, there's not a chance that I would have ever thought of it this way, because guys that I thought or think are much smarter than I'll ever be are involved in sports. I'll give you an example. Today in New England, the Wells Report in Context was released. Here is the website, the Wells Report in Context, that came from the New England Patriots. They decided, we're going to be the ones that we're going to say, this Wells Report, it's all wrong. We've got it all figured out. That's fine. It's fine. Knock yourselves out. All right. And we follow this inside and out. We have Peter King with us every week, the Monday morning quarterback from SI. I don't want to bother Peter with this today. But I'll just tell you this as the day progresses. There's a couple lines in this that I just find to be hilarious, for lack of a better term, such as, You know the term deflator, right? So there's the guy that had called himself the deflator. Well, now it's come out within this report that he's called himself the deflator because he was trying to lose weight. Of course he was. Hey, you know, let's sit around a room and let's come up with the best way to knock these down. He wasn't deflator by letting air out of footballs. He was just trying to lose weight. Makes perfect sense to me. We'd all agree with that. Yeah, let's put that in the report. The rebuttal of the Wells report has scientific evidence from a Nobel Prize winner included in there that the Patriots are clear that they believe the league worked backwards after jumping to a conclusion about what happened in January. They're saying Ted Wells doesn't know what he's talking about. We've gone out and found Nobel Peace Prize guys, and the deflator was just on Weight Watchers. He just was a little pudgy. That's all. That's all he's talking about. He put the little pin in there and psst, that's all it was. And of course, in Boston today, here's a cartoon out of the Boston Globe that caught my eye this morning. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, that's pretty funny. The Boston Globe cartoon. Do we have the Boston Globe cartoon? There it is. Right on time almost. Yeah, four games in the elevator. It would have been just two. Good stuff there. Now, I can have fun with this all day long. And I know at the end of the day, some of you are fatigued by this, but I will just tell you. We said this 2 weeks ago, that this will end up in court, that Tom Brady's image has been tarnished and that there will be the legal side. He's lawyering up. And Roger Goodell comes across to me as somebody who's completely overstepped his bounds. But I heard the line today, earlier today, and I forget why I heard it, but that Roger Goodell grew up in a town car. That Roger Goodell has been an intern. It was Sally Jenkins, The Washington Post. That's who it was. Sally Jenkins was in a, she said that he grew up in a town car and that he's been a lifelong intern at the NFL. That if Adam Silver was in his place in the NBA, this would have been handled much differently. Now, I don't know that to be true or not, but I do know that the criticism directed at Brady and the Patriots nationally from the Patriot haters. And then there's the Patriot side that's blaming Goodell, that this is going to be a lawyered up situation. All you want is your football. I get it. I'm hearing from you on it. And to that end, I'm going to bring you some football stuff. I don't know if you're going to want to hear it or not. I could do more stuff on Brady. But the owners next week, and it's probably good timing, and it's probably not a coincidence that this was released today. The NFL owners are going to vote on changing the point after touchdown rule at the meeting next week. Most everybody thinks that, you know, point afters are nothing special. There are three proposals on the table. Passing one would require a 3/4 majority of votes. Number one would be to move the extra point to the 15-yard line. The Patriots, by the way, submitted that. How's that going to go over? Number two is move the extra point to the 15-yard line and the defense can return a turnover for 2 points. That was put out by the NFL Competition Committee. You block the extra point or a play fumble happens, whatever it may be, you can return it for 2 points. I would agree with that. There are times where you see extra points get batted down and guys just stop playing. Move the extra point to the 15-yard line, move the 2-point conversion to the one, defense can return a turnover for 2 points. The Eagles put that into place. Now, Chip Kelly's the one that decided to put that in. Of course, it's Chip Kelly. He wants more scoring. It is intriguing because you think about it this way. If you can get 2 points by just getting in from the one, you're going to go for it more than you are kicking, but you still have the option to kick. So there's another layer to the game of thinking early on, you score a touchdown and you're up 8-0. Rather than being up 7-0, you add an extra point on there. So, you know, Chip's plan, I think, is pretty good. NFL teams converted 57.5% of their attempts in the one-yard line in 2014, compared to 47% of their two-point conversions from the two. So you're going to give them the incentive, let's score more, let's put more points on the board. And of course, we do a lot of fantasy football here. This would be great for the fantasy football guys. Both those stories, I think, the Patriots thing is going to be out there for several weeks and months. He'll appeal. We'll see if it gets knocked down to two games. We'll see if it gets thrown out. We'll see who hears the appeal. We'll see if he's there on opening night, or if he's not there until the second week or the fourth week. Those are really the storylines. But now the Patriots have taken the angle of, let's put our website to work. And the NFL today releases a little bit about, hey, next week, the owners' meetings, we're going to do some points. Anything to take the attention off of Deflategate. We have to move through this. On the other side, college football coming into Arizona in a big way. It's that time of year in May, busy time of recruiting. That's on the other side. The biggest of the biggest schools have rolled through. We do a lot on our site, sports360az.com, on the recruiting front. We partner with AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. No Diamondbacks today. Suns are in Chicago getting ready for the NBA pre-draft camp. No Coyotes, no Cardinals to speak of. The colleges are having graduation, but there is a lot going on the college football front here in the state of Arizona this time of year. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, Brad Sussmat with you. Recruiting is a big part of what we do on our site. There's a ton of college football fans from across the country that have moved here. And in the South, recruiting is like a daily ritual, and I've seen it grow here in terms of interest. Jason Jewell is someone that I met about 6-7 years ago on the sidelines at a high school game. And there's a lot of shady characters, I would say, in the world of recruiting, a lot of sketch, as I like to put it. But there's none more respected in the state than Jason. And I've done stuff with him over on the television side at Channel 3. And then when I moved over here, said I'd like to have Jason involved. He's involved with our weekly recruiting roundup by Rock and Refuel with Jared Cohen. We brought Jason on here for a couple of minutes through the years to talk about things. I think it's appropriate now here in the middle of May to let's get caught up here in this active period, because the number of national schools, Jason, that are rolling in, how different is it from just 5 years ago?
It's a lot different. You're seeing a lot more schools coming in here, almost to the point where Arizona is over-recruited. There are just a ton of kids going after, or a ton of schools going after those top-notch players. I mean, you'll see upwards of 80 schools, Division I wise, come through here and recruit during the spring. It's crazy.
And we're seeing from every conference, there's not a major. I mean, Alabama rolls through here every year. Ohio State rolls through every year here, right?
Yes. They'll hit up a lot of, you know, they'll come in for a couple of days just because a lot of those schools, like let's say Ohio State, they don't need to come all the way out here to recruit a ton, but they're going to come and try to cherry pick those top level kids.
How many of the big coaches come to Arizona? Is it all the assistants that roll through?
Yeah, it's got to be assistants during the springtime. The head coaches aren't allowed to go out and come and evaluate during the spring. But you know, you'll see offensive coordinators from SEC conference, you know, schools, you know, come out here. So, you know, there's schools that are coming out and trying to go after guys. You'll look at Texas A&M's gotten our top kid in the state the last 2 years.
Who changed all of this? Was there a player that broke the dam open?
Well, I would say probably Everson Griffin was one that kind of really blew up. He ended up being Scout.com's number one ranked player in the country. Oh, I was coaching out at Agua Fria. I actually coached Everson. That was around 05. And went to USC, and now he's playing with the Minnesota Vikings and still having, you know, good success. So I would say he's one of the first that got Arizona on the map on a national level.
And this year, we're looking now at the class of 2016, first week of February 2016. How good is the 2016 class? I've heard that it's not as good as the 2017 class. I'm not disparaging kids. It's just there's not as many high Division I kids. Is that right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the state's kind of got spoiled over the last few years. There was that class with Mark Andrews and Kyle Allen where there was just absolutely ridiculous. I think we had seven top 100 level players, you know, in the state, and there was just there's those two or three years where there was some really, really good. We had a high number of good players. Right now, I think we're back to being kind of on par in this class where we've been. There's about, you know, maybe 10 kids that are national level recruits in the state now, but you're right, that 2017 class is absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, before we get into next year's class, I want to talk to you about something going on the college level with coaches. The conversation the last few years has been, let's have an early signing period, whether it's in August, whether it's in the first week of December, but let's not wait all the way until February. You talk to these kids. You're someone that is out there every day. Do you see the need to have an early signing date on the football front?
Yeah, I could see both, you know, sides of it. You know, what happens when a college coach gets fired and these kids have have signed early, you know, and that does change things dramatically, you know, in a kid's mind, in a family's mind, when they do choose a school. So I can see both ends of it. I don't know that I would be a big fan of it, you know, but there are some kids that the recruiting process gets really, really hectic, and I could see some kids jumping on board and saying, hey, you know, I can sign early, let's just get it over with.
There's some thought that kids would sign early in August. They had the early period in August. They would then not play as hard or not play at all, and for fear of hurting themselves. Do you buy into that?
As a former athlete myself, I would hope not.
Yeah,
I would want to go on the field, I would want to play as hard as I could. But I could see some players doing it, and it would be a bad thing, though, as far as if those college coaches see that and those kids aren't being competitive, do they really want those kids in their program? So then you get into a whole other can of worms. You know, can the college back out of that LOI now after a poor senior season? So I don't know.
I think there's something coming there, though, Jason.
I agree. I mean, they do it in other sports, so I don't see why football, you know, doesn't get done in football as well.
Let me throw a couple names at you, and let's start with Byron Murphy out at Saguaro. I know that you and Jared talk about him every week on the recruiting roundup, but for those that don't see the feature or not aware, or just you and I haven't chatted about him, he is clearly the number one player in the state this coming year to sign in 2016?
Yeah, without a doubt. He's the most heavily recruited. He's got like 24 Division I scholarship offers right now. He's a guy that he's a big lockdown corner. He's a great receiver as well. Had 1,300 yards receiving last year as a junior, so big long sucker that is being recruited by everybody in the country.
Where do you think he's leaning right now? What are his top five?
You know what? He wouldn't give me any inkling of anything when I went out there with Jared the first week of spring ball. He wouldn't give me a list of narrowing anything down. The only school that he kind of leaked out there was he said he was going to take a visit to Texas A&M this summer.
And you mentioned Texas A&M earlier. We're going to have Christian Kirk and Kyle Allen in studio next Monday. They're both going to be back for the summer for a few weeks. On the quarterback front, and this is looking at the class of 2017, I'm getting a lot of questions about Moran at Chandler and Kelly over at Basha. Let's start at Chandler when they're quarterback.
Well, the Chandler kid, I like him a lot. He hasn't had a whole lot of playing time. You know, he's actually a 2016 player, but you know, he's played all safety, sat behind Bryce Perkins each of the last 2 years. And I actually kind of like that. You know, when I was talking to Coach Iguano, you know, a lot of those kids wouldn't wait. They would leave, you know, and they'd transfer somewhere else. But, you know, Mason said, no, I'm just going to go play safety and be an all-state safety as well. And he's getting recruited as an athlete, a guy that I really, really like. I haven't got to see him spin the ball a whole lot just because he's had very, very limited reps, you know, playing the actual quarterback position.
And my understanding on him is, Mason Moran over at Chandler, that his recruiting will blow up here as people come in and see him here in spring ball, right?
Yeah, that's what Coach Iguano said as well. Those quarterback coaches want to see those guys throw live. So as more schools come out here and go out to Chandler's spring ball practice, I see more and more schools, you know, jumping in on him. But he's being, you know, Oregon State offered him recently, and I think there's more to come.
Ryan Kelly over at Basha, he's the one, he's the one that has already been offered by U of A and ASU. UCLA's jumped in on him. Big kid, I've seen him play in person at Basha High.
Yeah, U of A actually has an offer to ASU, Nebraska, and North Carolina, and UCLA. 2017 guy, you know, good-looking guy. I kind of compare him a little bit to Brian Lewerke that was over at Pinnacle this time with Michigan State. I think that's a pretty good comparison. Spins the ball real well and going to be obviously a national-level recruit. Already has, you know, four high-level scholarship offers right now.
ASU, how are they doing in-state towards next February?
You know, they got the early commitment from Marshall Mathey, the big offensive lineman, at Centennial High School. And, you know, their thought was, let's take the best in-state lineman in this class, and I think they got one in Nathy. They're still in really good with Chase Lucas. That Chandler told me that he's really, really high on the Sun Devils. So, we've already talked about Byron Murphy, but he's good friends with Chase, and then Nikhil Harry at Chandler. They're all good buddies, so it could end up being a trio package for somebody.
Kids recruit kids. What about U of A? How are they looking?
Yeah, doing a good job. I mean, everyone's kind of going after all those same kids, going after Murphy and Harry and Connor Murphy at Brophy High School. But they got a commitment from Justin Holt at South Point, big defense tackle, legacy player. His dad played there as well. He's about, you know, 6'1" and almost 300 pounds and could fill that spot, nose guard spot for them in their three-man front.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and your insight as always, Jason. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
You got it. There's Jason Jewell, scout.com. You can check out his content. Does a terrific job here in-state on the high school front. Jim Harbaugh has done something that I think is interesting. I want to talk about in this segment that caught my eye. Jim Harbaugh and his quarterback coach, and it's always Harbaugh that's doing something that's a little bit out of the box. Harbaugh, his quarterback coach was the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator, Jed Fish. They announced yesterday that they are forming the Ann Arbor Aerial Assault, a quarterback camp on the University of Michigan campus that will begin in 2016. I'm Jim Harbaugh, and I have an offensive coordinator who was in the NFL. How would you like to come to my quarterback camp? The camp will take only 300 participants every year. They're only going to have 300 quarterbacks that show up. Do you think that there are more than 300 quarterbacks whose daddies across the country or coaches across the country would say, my boy or my player is going to the Harbaugh 300? Of course there's going to be. Add to that, Harbaugh announced that, Dennis Dodd reported that, the exclusivity factor will be bolstered by the roster of the instructors. So you have Jim Harbaugh, you have Jed Fish, an NFL offensive coordinator at one time. You're going to have Josh Johnson, former Michigan QB, Denard Robinson, former Ravens quarterback, Kyle Bowler, former Chiefs quarterback, Elvis Gerback, Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, George Whitfield, the guy, the quarterback whisperer out of San Diego, and Jameis Winston. Of course, they're all going to help coach the camp. Now, between that star-studded cast and the quarterback expertise that Harbaugh and Fish bring to the table, the Wolverines will likely become the go-to program for the best pro-style high school quarterback recruits in the country. I bring this up because there's a lot that goes into, like Jason and I can sit there, and he's much better at it than I am. He knows where all these kids are looking at or who they're considering. But what type of competitive advantage does Jim Harbaugh have if he's chasing the same quarterback as Rich Rodriguez or Todd Graham? To bring that up to you ASU and U of A guys. You know, what direction could Todd Graham say, we're going to have a safety camp we're going to have a JUCO camp? Because look, we send safeties and JUCO guys onto the NFL. We have a wide receiver camp. Are these college coaches going to start tapping into their network of people to start forming their own camps as Jim Harbaugh is doing? And what will the NCAA be able to do about it? That sounds like, well, I'm going to put my camp on every summer and I do my camp and I do my thing. Well, Jim Harbaugh is saying, I'm going to do my camp and I'm just going to take quarterbacks. How's that? How's that working out for you? What I don't know is, what is the price tag on this? And it doesn't matter to a lot of these daddies because they'll just roll their kids in out there. But that story caught my eye. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience is like this. For over 3.5 years now, General Manager Tim Hovick at Santan Ford told me when I left Channel 3, wherever you go, whatever you do, I am with you, Brad. And for the last 3.5 years, we've sold a lot of vehicles together. I drive a very economical Ford Fusion Hybrid. Makes a lot of sense for me. It's terrific. I fit in. I'm 6'8", guys. I just don't fit in any vehicle. My Fusion Hybrid gets 52 miles to the gallon. And for Santan Ford and for Tim Hovick, that makes a lot of sense for me to drive that vehicle for them. I purchased a certified pre-owned Explorer. My wife needed a new vehicle. I said, you know what? I don't want exactly new. We have a budget. We have a payment that we can make. So let's get something that's certified pre-owned. And that's what we did. The Explorer makes a lot of sense for her. We are Ford families. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Monday through Friday, we join you for a couple of hours, things that are on my mind in the world of sports. And then over on the website, away from the show, there's plenty of content for you to check out on the high school, the college, and the pro front. I'm Brad Sussmatt.